If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 23 this morning. Psalm chapter 23. As you're turning there, we got some much needed rain this week. How many of you all appreciated the rain that we had this week? How many of you all lamented the rain and wish it would have just been sunshining all the time? All right, a few of you, okay? I started thinking earlier this week, what would happen in a land, can you just picture for a moment, a land that is perpetual sunshine and no rain ever? Can you picture that in your mind? Just always sunny, always bright. You know what that land looks like? It's called a desert. That's right. There is a land that has perpetual sunshine and no rain. You know, here's an interesting fact. In order for lush green vegetation, in order for the beauty of the rainforest, you must have rain. Storms must come. Rain must fall. In order to have the green valleys, you have to have the rain. And that's true in nature, but it's true in our lives as well. In the Bible, there are many valleys that are viewed as problems, viewed as trouble. Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. In Psalm 84, it talks about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. And even in our own country, we have a famous valley called Death Valley. You know, valleys are often seen as very difficult circumstances, and today we're going to talk about a valley. And so I would like to invite you to follow along with me as I read Psalm 23. There are six verses in this psalm, and we're going to read all six. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. The words will also be up on the screen. Or if you have a digital copy of our bulletin on our website, you can tap those sermon notes, and that will pull up all of our scriptures for this morning in front of you. So turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. You'll particularly in verse 4, we read about the darkest valley, which some translations put the valley of the shadow of death. In Israel, there is a real valley of shadow of death. It's deep. It's steep. It's a very narrow canyon. The sun only hits the floor at noon each day. And the rest of the time, the valley is completely dark. David, probably, as he's writing this psalm, is thinking of this valley and leading his sheep as a shepherd through the valley when he was a young boy. How do you handle dark valleys in your life? This morning, I'm going to go through quick facts about dark valleys, five quick truths that I want to go very quickly over, and then three applications to how to go through valleys. The applications are in your bulletin if you want to take notes. You can also jot down these three obvious facts that I want to share with you about dark valleys, difficult times in our lives. The first one is this: dark valleys are unavoidable. Things are going to happen in life. You can count on it. I promise you, you will have difficulty. Jesus Himself says, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, not you could have trouble. Jesus' words are, you will have trouble. Perhaps you're coming out of a valley right now. Perhaps you see a valley on the horizon, or perhaps you're in the middle of the darkest valley in this moment. No matter what, dark valleys are unavoidable, an unavoidable part of life. Job tells us in Job 5:7, mankind is born for trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. In other words, Job says, if you are a part of the human race, trouble will find you at some point. If you are human, there will be dark valleys in your life. They are unavoidable. And secondly, more good news, Pastor. Why don't you just keep telling us some great things? Dark valleys are unpredictable. They're unavoidable and they're unpredictable. You can't plan them or time them. You can't set your watch to when trouble will come. They're unscheduled. They usually come at the worst possible time. A time when you're not ready for them. You don't have time to deal with them. You're completely unprepared for them. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a flat tire at a good time where you've thought, boy, I'm so glad this is the moment I got that flat tire? Anybody here say, I'm so thankful for the last flat tire I have? But why? Flat tires always come at the worst possible time, a time that we need our car the most. Usually they come when we have to be somewhere or we're running late or we have something important to do. Look at what Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20 says. Disaster after disaster is reported because the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly, my tents are destroyed. My tent curtains in a moment, at an unpredictable time, that's when dark valleys show up. We're never prepared for them because they are unpredictable. Also, if we see that dark valleys are unavoidable, we see that they're unpredictable, we also find that they're impartial. No one is immune to dark valleys. Everyone experiences them. No one escapes problems from life. The difficulty you're going through is similar to what somebody else is going through. Do good people go through dark valleys? Yes. Do bad people go through dark valleys? Yes. You know, that age-old question, why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, is answered in this point. Dark valleys are impartial. They come to us all. Problems don't care how bad or good you are. One of the first reactions most of us have to difficult circumstances is, why me? Why God? Why me? The real question we should be asking is, why not me? Why am I different from everyone else on the face of the earth that I would not have trouble? Do you think you should be exempt from problems? Problems happen to everyone, including you. Matthew 5:45 says this, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Why do we think we should be exempt from problems and valleys in life? So after three miserable points, after three truths about valleys that make you go, this is the most depressing sermon I've ever heard in my life, we see that valleys are unavoidable, they're impartial, and they are unpredictable. There is some good news. We find that valleys are temporary. They do have an end. They don't last forever. They are not where we permanently reside. When you're in a dark valley, sometimes we feel like we're in a cave. We feel like the darkness is around us and there's no way out. But the good news is you are not stuck in a cave. Dark valleys are less like a cave and more like a tunnel. There is light at the other end. Troubles in your life don't come to stay, they come to pass. Problems come and they go. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, Now, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you've suffered a little. No matter how long you live on this earth, you may live 80, 90, 100 years. And even assuming every year of your life felt like a dark valley and felt like an extremely significant problem, even in the worst case scenarios, our troubles are insignificant compared to the thousands and millions of years we have if we are in Christ in heaven. Eventually, the troubles of this world pass away. Eventually, the problems that we face are no longer problems, and we live an eternal life in Christ, separated from the valleys that we struggle through now. 5 minutes in a dentist chair may seem like eternity when we're getting a root canal. May seem like it's the worst of the worst and it will never end. But you know what you find is 5 minutes in that chair is better in the long run than no time. That problem and that pain is but temporary, and the ending result is always better. Problems are temporary, but heaven is eternal. And our last point of observation is that dark valleys are purposeful. They have a purpose. God has a reason for taking you through difficult times. God has a reason for putting you through dark valleys. Whether you have a valley full of doubt or despair, whether you're in the midst of discouragement, whether you feel defeated, God has a reason behind it. God has a purpose. You know, we tend to think of valleys as unnatural in our lives. They occur in our lives, but they shouldn't be there, as if they were mistakenly given to us. But valleys are not unnatural. They're a natural part of the landscape, and they're a natural part of our life here on earth. There are many of us who have financial valleys and we struggle to pay bills. Many of us who have relationship valleys where we struggle with a spouse or a family member. Some of us have emotional valleys where we're drained and weeping. There are all kinds of valleys in our lives. We will get through them in time. They are temporary and they have a purpose. Look what 1 Peter chapter 1 says in verses 6 and 7. You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you've had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, the purpose of your trial, is that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, this verse tells me two things about our trials, about our difficulties, or two things about our valleys. The first is this: every problem has a purpose. The small problems or the big problems, they all have a purpose in our lives. They're there to help shape us, inform us. And this verse says, as metal is put into the fire, it's made pliable, it's made bendable. So when we go through problems of life, we're being put through the fire. The fire heats the metal, and it shapes it so it can be more useful. One of my favorite Christian singers is a guy named Bebo Norman. He's moderately popular, but I love him because he plays acoustic guitar better than I ever could. And one of the songs he plays is called "The Hammer Holds." And it's a really slow song about the story of a hunk of metal that is being beaten and shaped and pounded. And through the song, it's talking about the pain that the metal is feeling as it's being beaten and then heated with fire and then beaten again. And it's wondering what it will be useful for. And you find towards the end of the song that all of the beating and all of the heat and the fire has given this hunk of metal purpose and meaning. And ultimately in the song, it brings about salvation. Every problem we face, every fire we experience, every valley we walk through is shaping us into something. And also what we hear from this verse is not only do problems have a purpose, but our faith is actually built on the valleys of life. You ever thought, how do you know you'll be faithful unless you're faced with unfaithfulness? How do you know how much endurance you have unless you faced difficult times? How do you know if you can trust God in those difficult times unless you experience the valleys of life? We have to get out of our mind that God's goal is to make us comfortable. That's not His purpose, is to always make us comfortable. His goal is to build character and faith. He's preparing you for eternity. So when we look at valleys of life, we realize that they come to us all, that they impact every single one of us impartially. They're unpredictable. We can't do anything about them. They're part of our lives, but they're temporary and they serve a purpose. Now the question is then, Pastor, what do I do when I go through these difficult times? What do I do when I'm grieving over the loss of a loved one? What do I do when I'm stricken with illness? What do I do when I feel oppressed and beaten? What do I do when I lose my job? What do I do when I can't pay my bills? What do I do when I'm strained with my family? What do I do when I'm going through the darkest valleys? I can accept they're there, but how do I deal with those difficult times? I think Psalm 23 paints a beautiful picture of what we do in the midst of the valleys. So three quick points of application for what do we do in the midst of valleys. When we go through dark valleys, first, refuse to be discouraged. We have to refuse to be discouraged. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse 4 again. If you're still in Psalm 23, our theme verse is this verse 4. It says, "Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's a couple of important things that I want you to notice about this verse. If you're going through a difficult time right now, the first is this: God doesn't panic when we go through a problem. He doesn't panic. He doesn't lose sleep. He's not shocked or surprised. While they're unpredictable to us, they are not unpredictable to God. And so when God doesn't panic, it makes it easier for His sheep to remain calm as well. See, David is writing, "God, even though I'm going through the darkest valley, I don't feel any danger because you are not taken by surprise." The picture we get from this verse is David leading his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death, literally the actual valley, in the darkness, in the shadows, in being hidden from any dangers. And as David remains calm leading his sheep, the sheep remain calm because the shepherd is calm. So we see that as we face the darkest valleys in our life, we serve a God who is not afraid, who is not scared, who is not thrown off, who is not confused, and we confidently follow Him. Notice it says, "I walk through the valley." It doesn't say, "I run through the valley." It doesn't say, "I quiver through the valley." It doesn't say, "I shake in my boots as I make my way through the valley." No, it says, "I walk through the valley." It says, "I've got sure footing and I take my time. I'm moving at the speed that God is calling me to move. And I don't need to panic." The second thing I want you to look at, the words, "I will." If you take notes in your Bible, circle those words, "I will." Because it reminds us that this is a matter of choice. I will fear no evil. I will overcome this problem. I will get through this valley. And with God's help, I will get out of the hole of life that I feel like I'm in. One of the biggest adjustments that we need to make when we're facing difficult problems, when we're walking through a valley, is adjusting our attitude to simply say, "I refuse, through God's grace, I refuse to be discouraged." You acknowledge you can't go around the valley. You can't bypass it somehow. You can't go under it. You can't get around it. You have to go through it. And so we make the decision to refuse to be discouraged and to trust God. So if you're going through a dark valley this morning and discouragement is heaping in and you feel like there's nothing left for you to do, make a conscious decision: "I will fear no evil. Because of the God I serve and His confidence in bringing me through, I will trust in Him and I refuse to be discouraged." There's even more to it than just willing yourself to go through the problems, isn't there? There's a reason why you don't have to be discouraged. And that's the next phrase in verse 4. We see the words, "For you are with me." The second application is this: we need to rely on God's presence. We need to rely on the presence of God. God does not leave us. God does not forsake us. And in verse 4 of Psalm 23, there's a great change in language. Up to this point, he's using all the pronouns that are third person. He leads me and He guides me. He restores my soul. He does this, as this idea that there is a God out there who. But now the language changes to second person pronouns. "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It's this acknowledgement. It's not just a God who is out there. It is you, the God who is with me, who are leading me through the darkest times. Even when I go through the darkest valley, you are with me. Even when I struggle and don't know how to get through, you comfort me. All of a sudden, this ultimate darkness and this ultimate valley becomes an intimate connection with the God who is leading us. When you're going through dark valleys, you don't want to talk about God. You want to push Him away. You want to talk about how He's neglected you instead of about how He's leading you. And so our religion gets flipped upside down. God says, I'm with you and I'll take you by the hand, but you say, you've abandoned me and you've left me. And through the darkest times, we can either fall towards God or fall away from God. There's a reminder that God is with us. Even in the worst times, He is with us. And we must rely on His presence. You know, there are many, many, many valleys that we can experience. But none of them do we experience alone. As a matter of fact, we find that Jesus Christ is always with us, even in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20. He gives us a task to go into all the world, to teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And this overwhelming task, He reminds us, remember, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. There is no task that God has put in front of you that you are called to carry alone. There's never a time that God says, good luck, do your best. There's never a time that God steps back, removes His hand, and says, let's see how you do it by yourself. God is always present, and we are called to rely on God's presence. Third and finally, our final act of application is that we also must rely on God's protection. David reminds us that God has a rod and a staff to protect us. Remember, David's a shepherd, and so this rod and the staff, they're the common tools of a shepherd of his day. They're the basic tools he would need. The rod is probably about 2 feet long and has a knot on one end, kind of a ball on an end, and the shepherd is trained to use a rod, kind of like a missile, to throw at anything that would interfere with his sheep. So he sees a wolf coming to attack or a lion coming to attack, and he has this rod that he can go and hurl at whatever would attack his sheep. It's a weapon of aggression. And then he also has this staff. The staff is what we traditionally see a shepherd holding, this big, huge hook. You see it most of the time when a comedian tells bad jokes and they yank him off stage, but maybe you've seen it in the nativity picture as well, where the shepherd's holding this staff, taller than he is. And he uses this staff to draw sheep out of harm's way. So they fall in a ditch. He can take that staff and hook around the sheep and pull them to safety. God has promised to use His rod to attack our enemies. He's promised to use His staff to pull us out of difficult valleys. And He's promised to give us protection. John chapter 10. Verse 29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I want to close with just a few thoughts about shadows that we face. As we walk through the valley and everything seems dark, as we're trying to rely on God's protection, as we're trying to rely on His presence, as we're trying to refuse to be discouraged, remember that shadows are always bigger than reality. Fear is always greater than the problem you face. And when we see the darkness of the valley, we remember the greatness of our God. Secondly, remember that the shadows that you're facing cannot hurt you. A shadow causes no harm. Have you ever been run over by a shadow? You know, there's a big difference between a truck barreling down a road and the shadow of a truck following it. A shadow cannot hurt you. And the God you serve is bigger than any shadow that is cast. And then thirdly, think about this. A shadow only appears when there's a source of light. You only have dark times and shadows cast because a light is reflecting somewhere. Don't lose sight what's on the other side of your problems. As that darkness is cast, remember that there's a God who is shining a light on all of our lives. That's why we can read in Psalm 23 verses 1 through 4 again, the comforting nature that David has. He sees God as his source of light. He relies on Him for protection and for His presence. And so he writes, the Lord then is my shepherd, and there is nothing I lack. Remember, David's going through a valley, but he says, He lets me lie down in green pastures and He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life and He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even, he says, when I go through the valley, the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they are a comfort to me. This morning, as we think about the dark valleys that we experience and we go through, the difficulties in our life, we have two options. We can either blame God for the valley, get angry at God and push Him away, or we can recognize that God is growing us in our faith. We can refuse to be discouraged, and we can rely on the presence of God, the protection of God, to pull us out of our darkest times. Maybe this morning you're sitting here in church and you're saying, I'd love to put my trust in God, but I've never heard from Him. I've never really experienced any sort of relationship with this God you speak about, and I don't know if I can trust Him. This morning we have a promise in the Word of God that if you confess with your mouth, say out loud, Jesus is Lord, confess that He is the Lord of your life and knows what's best for you. And then if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that is, I recognize that God has allowed Him to pay for my sins and He's my Savior, then you will be saved. This morning it requires only two things to trust in God. One is to trust Him as Lord, lead and guide me. And two is to trust Him as Savior, forgive me for all that I've done wrong. This morning I would encourage you, whatever valley you're facing, whether you've prayed that prayer before or whether it's the first time you're understanding the simplicity of it, to say, Lord, I need you in my darkest time to forgive me for the sins in my life and to guide me out of these dark valleys. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it's comforting and discouraging at the same time to know that every one of us experiences difficult times. And so this morning as we come before you and we are all in a different area of life, maybe about to go into a valley, maybe coming out of a valley, or maybe, Lord, we're right smack dab in the middle of the valley right now. We pray that we would refuse to be discouraged, that we would make a conscious decision to trust in you. Lord, that we would rely on your presence, knowing you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. And Lord, we pray that we would rely on your protection, knowing that the shadows we face are just mere shadows, but that you have a light that shines greater than all. Lord, we pray this morning that we would put our full faith and trust in you, not only to forgive us for the sins that thrust us into the valley, but also that we would trust you to lead us and guide our lives to bring us out. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we just pray this morning that you would allow us to make that conscious decision to trust in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.